He ran ahead faster. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Reverend Fathers, my dear friends in Christ, we received the news of Father Collins' death a little after noon on Easter Saturday, whose gospel I have just now read to you. It was a busy parish scene. Any priest would know it well. The sisters were there. It was first communion testing day. The first confessions had just been heard. And Father Chicada was after bringing out his traditional candy bag, a little treat for the children we always give them at the conclusion of that so tense morning. Meanwhile, there was a couple waiting to see me, and as usual, I was running just a little bit late. And my first thought was, when Father whispered the death in my ear, already. Well, the next thought, he just ran a little faster. Sometimes you think in Latin because you live so much in that language, curat citius. He just ran a little faster, like St. John in today's gospel. He just ran on ahead. And after all, he today, and we tomorrow. But the running part, the enthusiasm. Once some idea, this is how I remember Father, had seized Father Collins, you couldn't stop him. He'd outrun you. Generally speaking, he was low-key, not to say laconic in his impression, rather quiet. But when he was stirred by some inspiration, he pursued it. So when this spring he understood God's idea that it was time to go to him, why, he put on his running shoes. He was John, this priest, running faster than the rest, not to the grave, but to the resurrection from the dead. But he had some Peter in him too, I'm thinking, Father Collins did. That classic and even at times consuming enthusiasm, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. And so he ran to the sepulcher, that last passage which completes our death in Christ, which is baptism, our own death, that final conformity to Christ, whereby we pray, this is one of the prayers for the dying, that we pay now the common debt of nature by giving up our soul. And so he went forward that day with an apostolic enthusiasm. After all, the prayer tells us the priest is ranked amongst the apostles. And under the mighty protection of his patron saint, Joseph, who is patron too of a good death, his was a good life, and that says everything about a priest's death and life. As you live, so will you die. Everything, all the essentials, he had lined up and taken care of. At the end, the pain became intense, I think, and he ignored it as a kind of a distraction. He was faithful to his prayer, to the reception of the sacraments, to daily communion. Our Lord came to him as viaticum, only he didn't know it. Early on that Saturday, he died. And for the rest, well, what does it matter, finally, in the light of eternity? What needed to be said, he said. And that, I am told, in the tenderest and the most thankful of terms. And then on Mary's day, before Easter's octave was done, he fell and slipped away, all peacefully, towards noon. The Angelus hour, be it done unto me according to thy word. Father Collins, in his priestly zeal, had often and charitably assisted the mission conducted by our brethren of the CMRI in Boston. Its first bishop in pioneer days was a Frenchman, Monseigneur Chevreux, who died finally Cardinal Archbishop of Bordeaux. And when he died, they founded as prédieu his book of personal devotions, which included the litany of the saints he would recite each day on his knees, but with one alteration marked in the text. At the petition, a subitania et improvisa morte libera nos Domine, from a sudden and unprovided death, deliver us, O Lord, he crossed out the sudden, because a Christian lives so as to die. So it was enough for him to pray just to be delivered from an unprovided death. For the sudden, well, the Lord would see to that. A priest's life is all caught up with death, Christ's death and his own, and preparing our Lord's lambs to make a good death, for the last hour is everything. And all of this by means of the death of Christ made present upon the altar in the sacrifice of the Mass, its efficacy, Christ's death given to souls in the sacraments, and then, of course, the sermons that must be given and instructions, and sometimes just plain priestly presence. He was a good shepherd, I think, Father Collins. He was a missionary, as we priests must be all today, traveling chaplain to Catholics all over, from Glenmont to Boston to Virginia to Hudson. And one time he went, brave soul he, to the antipodes, down to Australia. A mass, a baptism, a confession, a wedding, a funeral called him, and it was not so much leaving his little chapel as perhaps, I think, extending it wherever he went. Catholics knew they could count on him and shared his telephone number for the hour of need. And when he came, he always came a friend. His manner, his wit, and his humor brought joy, a joy fed at the fountains of the precious blood, as for every priest, when he goes up to the altar of God, who gives joy to his youth. And it was a joy he was always happy to share. He was a real community man, Father Collins was. I think of him when it came to recreation together, a little bit like Saint Therese. They used to say of the little flower that if she wasn't coming to recreation that day, they wouldn't have much fun. But if Father Collins was there, we always had fun. And he was very talented at the piano and with parodies. And pretty soon, he'd be singing something or another he had made up, and he'd have us all in stitches. And many's the time, Father Cicada and I have noted that we wished he could just sort of appear at this point, for a while at least, just enough for a good laugh and some entertainment before he had to go back to his other duties. And for the rest, well, they got to the tomb, Peter and John, and they started slowly to figure things out. John first arrived, but waited reverently for Peter. It's a long run we've had of it, these days. So long since we've had Peter. And sometimes we stumble and get it wrong. But we must never lose our enthusiasm for our faith. And priests must make it palpable. Come here, Thomas, and touch, and be not unbelieving, but believing. And everyone must take his time. What a confusing welter of words and scandals and sin and sadness and betrayal and forgiveness and grace is our day. John got it before Peter, figured it out because of the burial cloths, a little detail. Father Collins would have appreciated that. He looked in the sepulcher and he saw them separate, folded up, especially the one over our Lord's holy face. No sign of grave robbers there. Always done neatly, arranged as by angels, like the priest at the ablutions of the Mass, redressing the chalice, folding the corporal a certain way, and putting it away in its case, the verse. He believed. That's what they say of St. John. You must say it of Father. He believed. But many today totter and almost forget and lose faith. Nobody asked for this terrible chastisement in the church. It was Father Collins, who spent a number of Holy Weeks with us in the 1980s, used to sing so beautifully when he assisted at the Tenebrae, that one responsory for Good Friday, Tenebrae Facti Sunt, and the tenor voice goes very high. All was darkness, though. That's the text. And again, the next night, Recessit Pastor Bonus, the Good Shepherd, has withdrawn from us. Nobody asked for it, but everybody needs somebody to ask for, some shepherd, some apostle who would come running, Chitius, faster than the others. He was appreciated, Father was. He was loved for this. But he could do it because he was free. There was a reason for his availability. Every priest is different in his call, in his gifts, in his story, in his personality. Some priests are tied down by teaching responsibilities. Father Collins knew about that. That was his story for some 7 years in Kansas and on Long Island, school principal and teacher. Some priests are missionaries. Most combine a little bit of that with the taking care of their own chapels. Father spent 10 years in Jacksonville, Florida, and 10 years in Glenmont, New York, the both of them two very small, quiet, modest chapels. They didn't require or ask for too much. But all 20 years he spent, think of it, at a chapel dedicated to St. Michael, under the protection of the great archangel, guardian, as St. Joseph is patron, of the Catholic Church, and angels get around. As a young priest, Father Collins knew an old, outspoken Monsignor who originally was from Boston but was working on the West Coast. And this priest was never shy about expressing his opinions, as the priests of the old guard used often to be. This Monsignor had built a big church and built up a large congregation, such as Father Collins never had. But as so many of his generation, this priest finally failed his flock. He never provided for his succession. And the church went to the society, Pius X, or to the diocese, not much difference between them. They ended up taking over everything. Well, this Monsignor used very solemnly to predict that Father Collins would never have his feet under his own table. But he was wrong. He went, this man of the rank of apostolic priesthood, he ran wherever he was needed, and at whatever table he sat, at the end of the day, a true priest, he knew it was his own. He was, as Lacordaire says, he was a member of each family, and yet he belonged to none. That is the life of a priest. And yet, Father Collins somehow managed to have his feet under his own table. The Lord make him, who always ran on ahead, to sit at his table this day in heaven. Rest in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.